Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fact that this ball kicked back into the fairway, and the guy we were playing against was not happy about that. He's like, I cannot believe that this is where this thing ended up. He's like, you've got to be kidding me. Because it hit him on that side of the car, where right. If I have hit like the top and it bounced over, they hit that side of the car, and boom, right back.
So he's not concerned about the guy in the car, not concerned about the Jeep. He's just upset that you got a good kick off the Jeep.
Yep, and we won the hole. He was mad about that. Yeah. Well, whatever. That's what happens. All right, let's
it never happens.
It never does. Everybody I talk to, it's never happened to them. And they've played that course 10 million times.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jeez. Zugat's in for Boomer for the rest of the week. Going to talk some more Yankees coming up here, but quickly because we had to take a break. I hit a car with a golf ball yesterday. You got hit in the head with a ball?
Yeah, I just showed you the picture. I think I got 15, 16 stitches. Take a look at it right there.
Yeah.
Butterfly stitches.
Ugh.
I'm standing on the 15th green. My friend's coming up. He's approaching. He's about 120 yards out. I am telling you. This is a scratch golfer.
Yeah.
The guy's great. So I'm off to the green, a little bit to the right. And he says to me, Stu, you might want to get out of the way.
Yeah.
I said, I've been playing golf with you for years, dude. You're 115, 120 out. We play this course all the time. It's our course where we live. And I said, I feel pretty safe right here. I would say 100 times taking the same shot. 99 times the guy's on the green.
Yeah.
He's that good.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's within like 15 feet. He's that kind of golfer. He's the golfer that annoys the hell out of you.
Right.
Okay. And so I feel pretty safe just being like, and Gio, I'm telling you, the one time he doesn't hit the green, a couple of yards off the green.
Yeah.
Not 25 yards off the green, which is where I was standing. And the reason he told me, he said, I'm trying to bring it in from the right, you know, right to left. And I hate that guy as well. All right.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, if I do that, I didn't do it on purpose.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
And so I feel pretty safe about where it is I am standing. And so for the first time in this guy's life, or at least for the first time since I started playing with him, he hits a bad shot. The shot's so bad that it hits me right in the forehead.
How did you not get out of the way?
I know I was, like, and he said 4, and I still didn't believe him. I was also in a gummy.
Oh, okay. Well,
so,
there you go.
So I didn't really feel like moving.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe the golf ball was coming directly at my head. So I just stood there. I said, there's no way it's going to hit me. There's no way it's going to hit me. There's no way it's going to hit me. Then it hits me. And I'm gushing blood. Gushing blood. But I had to play the next hole. And I did play the next hole. Because we had a carryover.
Oh,
okay, he's giving me strokes, and it was for a lot of money. And I'm playing, and blood is like a hockey player. Okay? So later on, my friend, who is on the hole behind me, he sees like all this going on. Why are you guys slowing down? I'm slowing down because I'm putting like wet rags on my head. And he looks at me, and he says, hey, you have to go to the hospital right now. I go, why? He goes, you need at least 20 stitches. It turned out to be 17.
Oh, my God.
So I don't trust the doctor anymore. But I go to the hospital, I get the 17 stitches, I lose a lot of money, but I got hit in the head. I mean, hitting that, these are butterflies, this is a legitimate injury right here.
I know, you can, it's getting hit with a golf ball is no joke, man.
So if
almost killed Jerry in front of his kids, ask Boomer about it.
I know, but if you're out there with like, if you're out there with a really good scratch golfer, and you're standing by the green, do you feel the need to move? You feel pretty confident he's going to put the thing on the green, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, he hit me. Now, so I wonder if he hit me on purpose.
I do.
Yeah, but he's that good. He's that good.
He's throwing darts.
He's that good. When he said I'm going to come in right to left, I didn't know, like, right to left of the green. I didn't realize he meant right to left of your head.
Right, especially when there's a lot of money on the line. Yeah. You can probably guess how he could put it right in your dome. Jason and Comac, what's going on, Jason?
Hey, Gio, what's up, bud?
Hey, man.
So I worked in that lawyer's office right across from the Portly Villager. Louise knows me. I have an answer to your insurance question about your golf ball mishap.
Okay.
This is great.
All right. So it's not going to be your car insurance because it had nothing to do with you driving a car or the use of your car. 99%, that's going to have to go through your homeowner's insurance.
Oh, geez.
Which covers your personal mishaps. Depending upon whether you got a deductible or not, you may just want to talk to that guy and see what you can work, out.
Okay, right? So it happens on county land in a park, and he's driving through a golf course. It still goes through my homeowner's insurance?
Yeah, your homeowner's covers your personal negligence. So you not paying attention or not caring about
a golf
car
on a golf course. I was playing golf on a golf course.
Yeah,
he was paying attention. He had a bad shot. I mean,
it's not negligent.
Yeah, he did do a good shot.
it doesn't really matter where it happens, but your homeowner's follows you around for your personal deeds when you got a little bit of a push, which that I know that ninth hole pretty well. By the way, 130 in, very, very impressive.
Yeah, I know. Well, thanks for the car.
But off a car.
It was off a car, yes.
Good bounce. Good bounce.
Probably 160.
We call that a member bounce.
Yeah, member bounce.
You got on that one.
But a member bounce that he's going to be paying for the rest of his life, it seems like.
Better not be.
Yeah. Careful of the body shop guys. You know, a guy might take a sledgehammer to that dent and all of a sudden look out.
Well, thanks, Jason. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Scott in Hamilton, what's going on, Scott?
What's up, Greg? How you doing?
Good, man.
Listen, you don't need to worry about this at all because anybody who drives through a golf course knows that they have a chance of getting their car hit by a golf ball regardless. You're not liable for that. You shouldn't have to pay anything out of pocket.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like.
Scott, are you a lawyer?
No, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm smart enough to know I played golf my whole life.
Right.
I don't need to be a lawyer to know that if you go to buy a driving range or any place around there, if a golf ball hits your car, you can't blame the person that hit the ball. You know, you might not have had a good shot, but you're not liable for the damage to a vehicle. Anybody that's going through knows that they have a chance that they might get hit by an actual golf ball, and that's it. You shouldn't have to be paying anything, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and thanks, Scott. I hope that's the case. But in the way that was explained to me, as he said, I have to go file a report through the park ranger first. And then if that doesn't work, then it goes through your insurance.
It seems very flimsy, all of it. I got to be honest. A park ranger? Like, what are we doing here? And the park ranger, a good chance he loses that thing or throws it in the garbage.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He doesn't want to deal with you.
Right.
It seems like this thing is just getting started for you. this guy could take everything from you.
Oh, God.
But listen, I will tell you, I live in a golf community, and I think the callers are right, Gio. It goes without saying, you live in a golf community. Like, if your house is on the golf course, your house is going to hit. Listen, your house will be hit by golf balls. A car will be hit. It comes with a territory. So I think these callers who aren't attorneys.
But the one attorney said it would. It would matter to me. And so did the thing.
I trust the non-attorneys.
Okay.
I did.
Right. Paul in Waterbury. Yeah. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, so just in comparison, if you were to go to a Little League game or a baseball game and park your car in the parking lot and a foul ball hits your windshield, it's not like you can go over to that young man's parents or whatever and say, hey, you know, you owe me for a windshield. It's kind of like you parked there at your own risk. Same thing with driving through a golf course. Kind of like you drive through at your own risk, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me, Paul. But for whatever reason, the guy was asking me for my insurance. He seemed like a reasonable guy that I think got information from the pro shop which... I don't know,
but now he knows who you are. Like, don't you think a couple of Yankee tickets will take care of the situation? Or
I don't know.
Jets opening night, or
maybe, I'm not sure.
Send them out to San Francisco. It's getting more expensive for you.
Oh my God! Thank God I didn't hit Peter Schwartz with a golf ball. I'd have to write him into my will. Shane in Westwood. What's going on, Shane?
Hey, how you guys doing? I just wanted to call, chime in about this. I am a young attorney, and what we learned in law school about this was if you're on a golf course ever, unless you do something blatant, if you're on a golf course, you assume the risk. It's called assumption of the risk. It's a big field of negligence. If you're basically out there, you know, you're obligated to yell four. But, I mean, if he's in a car, he's not going to hear anyway. I think, you know, if this is a real court case, I think you walk away scot-free. And I'll leave you guys.
Wow. If I end up in court over this,
you have to yell.
I'm quitting golf. Forget about it.
You have to yell four.
J.D. and Newberg.
Did you yell four?
No, he was in the car. There was no people over there.
You
couldn't
screwed.
Hear me.
You're done.
J.D. and Newberg. What's going on, J.D.?
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Any day that I'm not getting paduked is a good day to me, you know what I mean?
God. J.D., what's the matter with you, man?
All right. Come on, guys. All right. So we know what kind of bounce the Jeep provided, but I want to know what kind of bounce the forehead of Stugatz provided for this for this gentleman.
An amazing kick landed right in the green. I mean, right off my noggin, 15 feet from the cup.
Of course.
Unbelievable. And I'm bleeding 17 stitches.
I can't believe you kept playing.
I had to. It was a carryover. We pushed on that whole one, so I had to finish it off. But my friend saw me. He said, dude, you're bleeding. I'm like, what are you doing on the golf course?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had the same thing. Jerry hit a ball off a tree, hit him in the head, and he was bleeding, and he had to leave and get stitches. He ended up getting two black eyes.
Really?
It was on Father's Day
in front of
his father and his two sons.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, so Jerry hit himself?
Yeah.
He hit a tree, yeah.
But he hit himself, guys. I mean, I know he hit a tree, but it ricocheted off the tree right back in his face.
Right in his eye. Yeah. Did he go into an ambulance or something?
He did. He went to the hospital, yeah. I don't know if he went to an ambulance, but he went to the hospital.
I mean.
Yeah. It's Boomer's favorite story in the world. He will not let it go.
I mean, I played an extra hole. Jerry went in an ambulance right to the hospital. I drove myself to the hospital. I mean.
So there was many years ago.
Recco.
There was a man who went by the name of John Glencove, who was a very strange individual. And I know there's more than one John in Glencove. But when I see John in Glencove on the line, I think about that other John in Glencove who used to walk around with a batting helmet radio.
Are you hoping for the old John in Glencove or a new John in Glencove?
I'm hoping for that's a loaded question.
I know because it is. That's why I asked.
If this was back in the day,
right?
If this was back in the day when he used to call all the time, I would be hoping for another John in Glencove. But the fact I haven't heard from that original John in Glencove in a very long time,
yeah.
I'm hoping it's the old John in Glencove. But he was so strange, this old John in Glencove. There was one time I was producing Joe and Evan. This is how long ago it was. And he was outside. He called us from outside the Astoria studios while he was washing Joe Beningo's car.
Did Joe ask him?
No.
Come on.
He just did it.
Come on.
He knew what his car was.
Right.
He found it, and he washed it for him.
Creepy or nice? Or both?
Both. Yeah, both. He brought us food one time, too. He catered something for us,
yes.
too.
Yeah?
And nobody wanted to eat it because they were so scared that it was filled with chloroform. Let's go to John and Glencove. Is this the original John and Glencove or a new John and Glencove?
The great Greg Giannotti.
Oh, John Glencove, unbelievable.
Look how happy you are.
I thought there was a 50-50 shot. You were dead.
Hey, bro, hang in there. I'm over than Joe Beningo. What are you talking about?
I know. Where the hell have you been?
Well, it doesn't matter where I've been. I just want to say I'm in Florida now enjoying my life with my wife.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And, you've been healthy, though? I mean, everything, it doesn't matter where I've been. Have you been to jail? Did you spend a lot of time in the hospital? Are you okay?
It seems like he doesn't want to tell you, Gio. I mean.
Well, listen, I don't play those games anymore. I'm good to go.
What does that mean?
Anymore.
Growing up, you get punished for doing the wrong things, and I learned not to do them.
Okay, all right. Very, very good, John. Well, I'm glad that you moved down to Florida. How long you been down there?
About 4 years, but I went there from Vegas because I retired and moved to Vegas, and now I'm in Florida.
So that's why we didn't hear from you. You still talk to Joey from Yonkers?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Joey and Sal. Yeah, they, those guys, you know, we love come seeing you.
Yeah, man. No, you guys were great.
Look at you two, old friends catching up.
Yeah,
huh?
he used to show up, Sal and Yonkers. Well, no, Sal and Yonkers?
Yeah,
Sal and Yonkers, Joey from Yonkers, and John and Glenn Cove used to show up at all my Buffalo Wild Wings appearances back in the 2008-2009 area. You know,
well,
he was great,
man. We used to love to do the rant. Remember the rants?
Yeah, the Buffalo Wild Wings sports rants. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, man, listen, it's good. It's good to hear from you. What made you call today after 15 years?
Well, listen.
You got out.
My team, the Yankees, they. I mean, come on. I know they're helping the Mets out because they want to see the Mets in the World Series, but you can't be losing games right now because they've never won a championship unless they won the division. They never won as a wild card. So they need to win the division. So now my thing is I want Hank Steinbrenner to put the focus on just winning the game. I want everyone to relax because tension not only takes away from your game, it also removes your energy because you won't even sleep at night when you're under pressure. I want him to tell the team that they can grow their hair. That crazy as that sounds, if you think of the back to the Athletics, when Mr. Steinbrenner bought the team in 73, that team was allowed to grow their hair any way they want. They look like cavemen out there. And the thing, and then he brought in, he got his first free agent was the of course, Catfish Hunter. He got Reggie from that team. He got Goose Gossage from that team, which all those guys help him win championships. Now, go back in time and take something away from that team and let the team grow hair for the rest of the year and let them relax.
You know what? I love that take, John. John, that is a great old school John and Glenn Cole take.
They should get rid of Cashman and hire you.
You're right. I mean, too much pressure. Let them grow their hair out. By the way, a couple things, John. First of all, I'm being serious,
by the way.
Yeah, Hank Steinbrenner dead, John. It's Hal Steinbrenner. So Hank's dead.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's Hal Steinbrenner. And the other thing is, are you still wearing that Yankees helmet with the radio in it?
Well, that was a gift from my daughter, and no, my wife put it away in my storage, so I don't get to wear it anymore. But I was listening to WFAN when I was walking around.
Right,
I know you. I know.
John, just to be clear and recap this entire thing, you're saying the Yankees have to win the division, and in order to do so, they need to let their hair grow out.
Let their hair grow and get stronger and relax, because I'm telling you right now, when you play any games, when you go out there, relax, and you just focus on what you're doing, you play a lot better.
I agree.
When you add pressure onto something, it takes away. Because I played softball, and believe me, if I went to the bar before I went to play, I'd go 8 for 8. That's why.
There's that laugh, John. It's been many years, but I still recognize it. Hey, John, it's great hearing your voice, man. I'm glad that you're doing well. Don't call every day now and be weird again. But like, you know, check in every now and again.
Well, listen. Thanks for letting everybody know how smart I am.
Yeah. You're the best, man. No, I do. I do appreciate you calling, and it's great to hear that you're doing well, John.
And don't listen to Gio. Call tomorrow, please. All right?
Well, can I give you two more examples of what happened back in 2010?
Tomorrow?
I told the fan.
Okay. All right. Uh-oh. All right, here we go.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the radio station, this radio station, this is the reason I love it, because of John and Glenn Cove. And so, John, just keep going. Go
so
as long as you want.
So in 2010, you called the radio station.
Go, Joe.
Right. And I called, and I talked to Mr. Baseball, Ed Randall, and I talked to our night boy, who retired, and I told them that, Evan and Joe, I told them that they should play Mr. Steinbrenner the when they dropped the thing to play My Way, and they did it. And the other call I made was that they should have Joe Torre there. He was managing the Dodgers, and when the screen, I was at the game when the screen came on.
It's good to hear from you, John. It's good to hear from you. Thank you.
It's my fault.
Appreciate you. That's a quit while you're ahead spot.
I was egging him on.
Love you, John. It's good to hear from you.
You're mad at me right now. That's totally on me. I asked him to call back tomorrow. I mean,
I know, John. I mean, listen, it's a leopard spots thing, right?
Yes.
That's still John.
His original point, though.
Great.
About growing the hair out.
Great.
Yes.
Because of the pressure.
Okay.
All right, Boomer and Geo, it's Stu Gotsin for Boomer on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo is here. He's got an update for us. What's going on, Chris?
All right, we are brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So Jake, don't call me Edwin Diaz. Diekman closed the door on the Yankees last night at the stadium.
The 2-2 pitch. Swing on a ground ball wide at second. McNeil's got it. Sets. Throws to first. Put it in the book. What a character win for the New York Mets tonight here at Yankee Stadium.
Howie Rose and a frustrated Susan Waldman, I guess a mix of WCBS 880 and here on the Fan. Diekman getting Ben Rice there after he K'd Aaron Judge, looking with one out and Juan Soto aboard after a 4-pitch walk. Judge himself had walked 4 times prior, but they pitched to him there in the 9th and got him in the biggest spot, part of a 3-2 Mets victory over the Yankees. Jeff McNeil, go-ahead 2-run homer off Michael Tonkin in the 6th. His 4th long ball in 5 games coming out of the All-Star break. Very understated about this one, though.
I feel like I've been taking a lot of good at-bats, and, you know, in a bat like that, I'm just trying not to do too much, trying to, you know, infield strong in, so trying to get something I can elevate. And, you know, sometimes pitchers are making good pitches, and, you know, you don't get the right pitch to do it, so you got to battle, fight, and that's what I was able to do there.
He certainly did. Into the Yankee bullpen, big hit for the Mets, and held up as the difference in the game. Allow me just one, give Stu Gotts an example of why, generally, we don't play Aaron Boone here on the show. So we told you last hour, he gave you the, hey, we had decent, good at-bats, particularly in the 9th inning. So how about the continued struggles for the middle of the order after Soto and Judge, to the point where opponents can pretty much just pitch around those two?
Well, given eyes, you know, yeah, we've seen that, you know, some teams take that approach. And, you know, look, we'll get the middle of the order more settled here, hopefully in the coming days too, and you know, it changes the equation a little bit.
Now imagine that 5 days a week, 4 times a day. No, that's why we banned it.
Yeah,
no more.
I understand your point. Stop yelling at me.
No more. Well, even when I hear it now, I get angry.
They're gonna get it settled in the coming days with Stanton, I guess, is what he's, I mean, what, Rizzo?
I saw him jogging around the bases,
right. Stanton. I know he's maybe gonna come back in Boston.
Did
that's
he get hurt?
One guy.
Stanton.
You're kidding.
What do you mean?
Oh, running around the bases.
Yeah, jogging around the bases. I told you yesterday, Stan was a Marlin. I told you yesterday, no one gets hurt more jogging around the bases than Giancarlo Stanton.
Nobody. No, I think he came out of that okay, right or not.
He's going to get it settled in the coming days. Is he alluding to a trade deadline move?
No.
Just Stanton? Rizzo?
No.
Dominguez is getting rehab games soon? I guess, I don't know. We'll see.
Stan is what he's talking about.
That's it? One guy is going to settle the whole thing?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't have an answer for you.
Okay.
But guys, what are we settling? Honestly.
He said we're going to get the middle of the lineup settled here in the coming days.
I understand that, but like you guys.
He asked me to get in that guy's head right now. I get the station.
I get the market. I get what we're doing here, but it is laughable that you guys think the baseball teams are lousy. I mean, there are markets that would kill to have the New York Yankees.
Well, yeah.
You've been through some of these numbers for their guys?
I understand the number. How about these numbers?
Yeah, I know. I heard you.
If the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's a number.
You know what you're doing? You're doing that whole thing.
You know, eat
your dinner. There's people around the country that are starving.
Right.
doesn't mean that the thing in front of me doesn't suck.
Right.
You know?
But like, it doesn't suck.
Yeah, they have.
It's just okay.
No,
this has been going on for 6 weeks now.
And they still have the fifth best record in baseball. Right.
That's because baseball in general is mediocre, but with the Yankees, you're looking to inspire some confidence for it. Can they actually win a World Series?
Thank you, Eddie. And the second best run differential in the major leagues.
Well, but if the season started with the last, 6 weeks now of the Yankees?
6 weeks.
Yeah. Right. Everybody would say that they sucked. But because they got off to a good start and now these last 6 weeks have been bad, they're still good?
Right.
No.
Sugats, they were the first team to 50 wins in baseball. Look at their record now.
I understand. I get it. You want the team that you saw the first 50 games, and you're not getting it right now. It's not to say you won't get it again. It's a long way to go.
There is, but there's also not. It's a bit of a mind bleep, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the Mets, it's all good right now, as they are 4 games over .500, which matches their season high, and they are in position for the 4-game season sweep of the Subway Series. They'll have Sean Manaea on the mound tonight, Garrett Cole for the Yankees. We got pregame covered 6:25 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. A couple of Met-related things that I myself have not mentioned this morning on the show. How about getting back, landing from Miami at 5:15 yesterday morning? Pete Alonso said he didn't get home until after 7. So they show up last night and take care of business in the Bronx. They were sitting on the Florida runway for a while because they couldn't get fuel into the plane. So you had that. And then this kind of, I mean, I shouldn't say got buried, but I even forgot to mention it. Christian Scott, right? UCL sprain on the IL. Not exactly what you want to hear.
No.
When it comes to, and Boomer was just asking that recently, wasn't he?
He spoke that into existence.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, when's he going to get hurt? John coming.
Yeah, and every young, he does that, to be fair to Boomer, every young pitcher. He did it with Skeens, too.
And also, we didn't give Boomer credit for this. Mm-hmm. Off the air, months ago, he said that he'd be shocked if either one of these presidential candidates was around. And he was almost right on both sides.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That is true.
Speaking of the presidential candidates, so the Cardinals, you saw their celebration and they shot that down. No pun intended. Sorry, that's not the right use of words there.
Mm-hmm.
But did you see the excuse or the reasoning? Did you guys talk about this yesterday at all?
No, you guys did in a warm-up show.
We did in the warm-up show. Yeah. So Alec Burleson for the Cardinals hit a big home run. Oh, I think it was over the weekend against the Braves. And as he's rounding the bases, he and his teammates not only have the fist up in the air, the left fist, but they're covering the right ear. So it seems like an obvious ode to Trump and the assassination attempt. So they said, no, no. In fact, Matt Carpenter, who, of course, was here with the Yankees, goes back to the Cardinals. He tells the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that that's definitely not a political statement. It was actually a callback to Burleson's college days when he was a rapper nicknamed Biscuit, and the hand over the ear was allegedly supposed to be invisible headphones.
Yeah, sure.
Come on.
I mean, just own it at this point, will you?
Kid saving abuse.
Just own it. Be like, yeah, that's what it is. Dummies, obviously.
Own it or come up with a better excuse, a better lie.
I don't understand.
And then you got Taylor Walls with the Rays, who was doing the, you know, fight, 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 which he was saying, well, it was just more so sort of like, you know, respect for overcoming an assassination attempt, but not an endorsement. Of Trump. So that's where we're at. Everyone's got to be very cautious about it.
We have people that are stupid.
Oh, man. That's kind of funny. And just while we're on the subject of Trump, I'll give you a couple others with this the YouTube video with DeChambeau and Breaking 50. So a lot of this cool stuff, dialogue between the two of them in the cart, going from shot to shot. So DeChambeau asks him an obvious golf question here.
You have a hole-in-one story? A good hole-in-one story?
No, but I've made 8.
You made 8 of them?
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
I've had 8. What was your favorite hole-in-one?
The last one I made with Ernie Els.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
A nice humble brag there. I've made 8.
I've made 8.
Yeah. Played a lot of rounds. Yeah.
Surprised there wasn't more, to be honest with you.
I guess.
Who's going to check him on it?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well. He's got 8. How many does Beningo have? 2, 3?
I think 3.
I've got none. You've got none, right?
I've got none.
Yeah, no.
Got none.
Beningo hit driver on a par 3 and got one, actually.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Doesn't count. Go on.
Yeah.
Do it with a pitching wedge. I mean,
and then he hits that one. He put one within like 10 feet on a par 3 Trump in this video. You got it?
All right. The one where he takes the little dig?
Yes. Yeah. All right.
Oh, beautiful. Come on. Oh, what a shot. Partner, great shot.
That's how you do it right there. Gosh.
You think Biden can do that? I don't know. We had an argument about golf. Can you believe it?
I saw him on CNN.
I don't even know if Bryson can do that.
I don't think I can do that. If President Trump gets inside of me, I don't know what's going on.
Well, we know what he meant by
yes,
that.
We do.
Get your mind out of the gutter, guys.
But, Gio, tell me this. If Trump actually played Biden, spotted him two strokes a hole for the presidency, that it would not be the most watched golf event or sporting event in the history of our country.
Right.
That's how we should settle elections moving forward.
And Eddie did say two literal strokes.
Oh, God.
Jeez. And that's coming from a Democrat in there.
We'd be glued, though, right?
Oh, of course. Of course we would.
The stakes.
Of course. Donald Trump is a good golfer. I mean, and especially at 78 years old, you watch this video. It is impressive, man. And I don't know if there was a couple of bad shots that they might have edited out, but he really only had, he hit one into a bunker. He had one, not so great putt, but outside of that, he was
plays enough. Should be.
It's really
be
good.
Decent, right?
Yeah, I guess he's played. How many rounds do you think he's played in his life?
That's what I mean. Eight hole in ones, but if the man's playing, three, four times a week like you are, over how many years
he
now?
He should have more is what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying you could see where you'd run into a few along the way.
Sure, run into a few.
But that's my golf schedule and I haven't.
Yeah. So,
how many years have you been doing that?
20.
Oh, jeez. None?
Really?
None.
And you're playing that
much? None.
You're not playing that much. You play three or four times a week?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I live on a golf course, Florida.
Yeah.
Jeez. Tomorrow, when we play, you're saying that I have to give you strokes? So you live on a golf course. You've been playing for 20 years.
You just told us a story yesterday. You're playing golf. You're 100 yards out on the first tee. I mean,
that was the ninth tee, and it hit a car for me to go.
I mean, you hit a 320. Yeah, you're giving me a stroke a hole.
What do you shoot? I kind of know what Gio shoots regularly. What do you shoot regularly?
Here's the truth. For the amount of golf I play, I should be a lot better. And I'm not, and it drives me crazy.
Do you have an official handicap?
I'm a 15.
Think you should be giving Gio strokes. Shouldn't be giving you strokes.
Should I be giving him strokes?
No.
No, I'd say you're probably right in the right ballpark.
No.
I'm
20.3 index.
Okay.
So at probably the course we're playing tomorrow, I might be a 24, but he might be an 18 or something.
Right. We're playing in my hometown. I'm just going to tell you this. You hit a car in that place, they're going to sue you.
Yeah, I'm familiar. All right, CeeLo.
Yeah, I'll get to the Diamador Lenore stuff. We'll do that next hour.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
All right. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live to the Build Ford Tough studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Yesterday, Stu Gotts told me that Craig Carton doing the Yankees play-by-play was a bad idea. We'll explain to you why coming up at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the reason why you think. Some people say, it's a bad idea because, it's the Yankees broadcast and someone who's really never done play-by-play shouldn't do that. Maybe that's what he's thinking. Maybe it's not.
I'm all for Carton doing it. I have no issues with Craig doing it. I didn't think the Yankees needed the promotion, but I have no issues with Craig doing it. I've done play-by-play. I have my reasons. We'll get to them coming up next hour. So it's not a shot at Craig.
Yeah.
I want more people like myself and Craig doing play-by-play.
Sure.
You'll find out next hour why I think it's a bad idea for him.
Okay. All right. Very good. So, yes, this is 4 hours later. I've decided to get to this tease, but yesterday I had to break out the stern dad chastising voice. You know that one?
Yeah.
And I give my 6-year-old a chance every time. Right. 3 or 4 times I give her a chance.
Mm-hmm. The one day a week you see the 6-year-old when you're not playing golf.
No, you got to remember.
I'm joking.
Man.
I'm sorry.
I'm home all the time.
It's easy.
All the time. All right. So she spills a glass of water that was sitting next to her on the couch and then onto the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at her to see how she's going to handle this.
Right.
So she just looks at us as if we were going to get the towel to clean this up.
Right.
She knows where the towels are.
Yep.
She knows that she did this.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, what are you looking at?
Right.
She's like, well, can you guys get me a towel?
Mm-hmm.
No. Then she starts this whining sound that she goes, oh.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get up and get a towel. So get up and get a towel. Oh, I don't want to. Mommy, you get it. Get up and get a towel. Then Gina goes, do you want Daddy to yell at you? Because he's asking you nicely right now.
Right.
To get up and get a towel.
Yeah.
So there it was.
Right.
I had to dig deep down
yes.
in me.
Yeah.
Get up and get a towel. And clean it up. So then, you know, crying, running to Gina.
Of course.
And then she runs to Gina. I said, no. Mommy's on my side. Get a towel. And she runs into the bathroom.
Right.
Closes the bathroom
door. Terrified. I mean,
she's terrified. Yeah, terrified.
Right. Yeah.
And then she comes out of the bathroom.
Right.
With the towel. The hand towel in the bathroom.
Well, that's nice.
And then starts dabbing it on there and then runs right. into Gina's arms. And Gina goes, do you understand why Daddy turned into a demon there?
Yeah, yeah.
You give him a shot.
Right.
You give. I gave her three or four chances.
Before you turned into the demon.
And then I said, right. I am just not, I cannot raise a spoiled child.
Right.
Can't do it.
In her defense, what is customary in the Giannotti household? Like, do you guys normally get the towel for her?
No.
Be honest.
No.
Is she used to Daddy getting the towel and cleaning up the mess?
Not Daddy.
Mommy?
Maybe.
So you're blaming the fact that she is spoiled on her mom. Is that what we're doing here on the radio?
You asked the question.
It's a very dangerous game, Gio.
I answered it. I do think that there are times that Sabrina gets too much. I do.
Right.
I gotta even it out.
I get it.
I gotta even it out.
But when you say too much, you mean too much from mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. But then again, if I were her, right. I would probably do the same thing because I wouldn't want to hear that whining. Because then you become survival parenting. Like, you know, that whining, what's the quickest way to get the whining to stop? And there's times that happens. When I'm with them alone, I'll do more for them than I probably should because I don't want to hear it.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
I don't want to hear it. But that's why kids get like that, and because they realize what the things that they do affects you in a way that they'll get what they want.
Of course.
And it happens with adults, too.
If they just wait around.
Right, it happens with adults as well.
If they just endure the demon, eventually they're going to get what they want.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I even said this the other day, where like the way I react in situations might actually get me something I want, too. We talked about going to Disney, and my wife said she was so worried about me being miserable down there and
right.
dragging all of us into my swamp of misery. She was going to let me go do my own thing one of the days
really?
In the middle of the trip to clear my mind.
I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do what?
I mean, it's a very nice offer from your wife, but I mean,
what do you mean?
Stay with the wife, like help
no,
her out.
No.
She doesn't want
me around in that situation.
After you take your kids to Disney, and Lord knows I've done it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I mean, I work for ESPN. We had free passes. I lived 2 hours away. It was a glorious time in my life, okay?
Yeah.
I would never, ever, ever leave my wife alone with the kids at the park.
Well, she said
I know
it was her idea.
But she doesn't know. I mean, and right. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to save your marriage. You already blame your wife for your kid being spoiled. You don't leave her alone at a park in 99-degree heat with a couple of kids. What are you doing?
Like I said, and just to be fair, it's not that she's home with the girls.
A lot of nice courses around there, by the way.
During the summertime.
Yeah.
So when they're there every day, if I were there every day and wasn't coming in here, I'd probably cave to them all the time, too.
Of course you would.
So it's easier for me to parachute in and say, don't do this.
You're at a great phase where your kids still look at you. They respect you. They look at you like, you know, some sort of hero, right? Is that fair to say? Because I want you guys to enjoy this stage. Eventually, they'll become teenagers, they'll be evil, and they won't care about a single thing you say, and you'll be a source of embarrassment
right.
to them.
Okay? No, I don't, yeah.
All right.
I know that. That's what everybody tells me,
yeah.
Which is amazing.
Right.
So it's like when they tell me, enjoy this time because the rest is horrible, it's like, I can't enjoy this time now. That doesn't make me enjoy this time. Well, you know
savor
what I'm saying?
It. Yeah, savor it. That's all I'm saying.
No.
The relationship will always be there. It just changes. Yeah. And by changes, it means she won't give a bleep what it is you're telling her to do, and she'll come home whenever she wants. And she ain't getting the towel. I mean, never.
She's not getting the towel.
That's your wife's fault.
I mean. No. I never said that. I just said that the person who has to deal with them more ends up caving more because they have to deal with them.
Right.
You know, so if
more opportunities to cave.
It's more, right. So that's what it is. So then when I come home, I got to even out the pendulum. I got to make sure.
Sure, I understand.
I got to make sure to do that.
Yeah, I just want silence. I mean, that's all I ask for.
Yeah.
And I'll do anything to get it. Right. Anything to get it. My kids are spoiled. I don't mind saying it on the airwaves. They're spoiled in large part because I needed the noise to stop.
Yeah. I mean, I.
It's not their fault. And it's not my wife's fault. It's all on me. That's accountability, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I take plenty of accountability for the things that are my fault.
Right.
But right now I got a, you know, demon voice was needed yesterday.
I understand.
It was needed.
I understand.
You got to understand who's in charge here. You're not in charge.
The demon.
You're six. You're six. You don't run this house.
Oh, yes, she does.
No, she does not.
She does.
No. Maybe when she's 16, she'll run the house.
I want to drag the demon out. That's what I'm trying to do.
Shut up.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Yesterday, Stu Gotts told me that Craig Carton doing the Yankees play-by-play was a bad idea. We'll explain to you why coming up at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the reason why you think. Like, some people say, it's a bad idea because, it's the Yankees broadcast and someone who's really never done play-by-play shouldn't do that. Maybe that's what he's thinking. Maybe
no,
it's not.
I'm all for Carton doing it. I have no issues with Craig doing it. I didn't think the Yankees needed the promotion, but I have no issues with Craig doing it. I've done play-by-play. I have my reasons. We'll get to them coming up next hour. So it's not a shot at Craig.
Yeah.
I want more people like myself and Craig doing play-by-play.
Sure.
You'll find out next hour why I think it's a bad idea for him.
Okay.
For all him.
Right. All right. Very good. So, yes, this is like 4 hours later. I've decided to get to this tease, but yesterday I had to break out the stern dad chastising voice. You know that one?
Yeah.
And I give my 6-year-old a chance every time. Right. 3 or 4 times I give her a chance.
Mm-hmm. The one day a week you see the 6-year-old when you're not playing golf.
No, you got to remember.
I'm joking.
Man.
I'm sorry.
I'm home all the time.
It's easy.
All the time. All right. So she spills a glass of water that was sitting next to her on the couch and then onto the rug.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at her to see how she's going to handle this.
Right.
So she just looks at us as if we were going to get the towel to clean this up.
Right.
She knows where the towels are.
Yep.
She knows that she did this.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, what are you looking at?
Right.
She's like, well, can you guys get me a towel?
Mm-hmm.
No. And she starts this whining sound that she goes, oh.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get up and get a towel. So get up and get a towel. Oh, I don't want to. Mommy, you get it. Get up and get a towel. Then Gina goes, do you want Daddy to yell at you? Because he's asking you nicely right now.
Right.
To get up and get a towel.
Yeah.
So there it was.
Right.
I had to dig deep down in me.
Yeah.
Get up and get a towel. And clean it up. So then, you know, crying, running to Gina.
Of course.
And then she runs to Gina. I said, no, mommy's on my side. Get a towel. And she runs into the bathroom.
Right.
Closes the bathroom
door. Well, she's terrified.
Door. I mean, she's terrified. Yeah, terrified.
Right, yeah.
And then she comes out of the bathroom.
Right.
With the towel. The hand towel in the bathroom.
Well, that's nice.
And then starts dabbing it on there and then runs right into Gina's arms. And Gina goes, do you understand why Daddy turned into a demon there?
Yeah, yeah.
You give him a shot.
Right.
You give a, I gave her three or four chances.
Before you turned into the demon.
And then I said, right, I am just not, I cannot raise a spoiled child.
Right.
Can't do it.
In her defense, what is customary in the Giannotti household? Like, do you guys normally get the towel for her?
No.
Be honest.
No.
Is she used to Daddy getting the towel and cleaning up the mess?
No, not Daddy.
Mommy?
Maybe.
So you're blaming the fact that she is spoiled at her mom. Is that what we're doing here on the radio?
Well, you asked the question.
It's a very dangerous game, Gio.
I answered it. I do think that there are times that Sabrina gets too much. I do.
Right.
So I gotta even it out.
I get it.
I gotta even it out.
But when you say too much, you mean too much from mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. But then again, if I were her, right, I would probably do the same thing because I wouldn't want to hear that whining. Because then you become survival parenting. Like, you know, that whining, what's the quickest way to get the whining to stop? And there's times that happens. When I'm with them alone, I'll do more for them than I probably should because I don't want to hear it.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
I don't want to hear it. But that's why kids get like that, and because they realize what the things that they do affects you in a way that they'll get what they want.
Of course.
And it happens with adults, too.
If they just wait around.
Right, it happens with adults as well.
If they just endure the demon, eventually they're going to get what they want.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I even said this the other day, where like the way I react in situations might actually get me something I want, too. We talked about going to Disney, and my wife said she was so worried about me being miserable down there and dragging all of us into my swamp of misery.
She
was going to let me go do my own thing one of the days in the middle of the trip to clear my mind.
I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do what?
I mean, it's a very nice offer from your wife, but I mean,
what do you mean?
Stay with the wife, like help her out.
No.
I'm telling you,
she doesn't want me around in that situation.
After you take your kids to Disney, and Lord knows I've done it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked for ESPN. We had free passes. I lived 2 hours away. It was a glorious time in my life, okay?
Yeah.
I would never, ever, ever leave my wife alone with the kids at the park.
Well, she said
I know
it was her idea.
But she doesn't know. I mean, and I'm just telling you, I'm trying to save your marriage. You already blame your wife for your kid being spoiled. You don't leave her alone at a park in 99-degree heat with a couple of kids. What are you doing?
Like I said, and just to be fair, it's not that she's home with the girls.
A lot of nice courses around there,
during the summertime.
Yeah.
So when they're there every day, if I were there every day and wasn't coming in here, I'd probably cave to them all the time, too.
Of course you would.
So it's easier for me to parachute in and say, don't do this.
You're at a great phase where your kids still look at you. They respect you. They look at you like, you know, some sort of hero, right? Is that fair to say? Because I want you guys to enjoy this stage. Eventually, they'll become teenagers, they'll be evil, and they won't care about a single thing you say, and you'll be a source of embarrassment to them. Okay?
No, I don't, yeah.
All right.
I already know that. That's what everybody tells me,
yeah,
which is amazing.
Right.
So it's like when they tell me, enjoy this time because the rest is horrible, it's like, I can't enjoy this time now. That doesn't make me enjoy this time. Well, you know
savor
what I'm saying?
It. Yeah, savor it. That's all I'm saying.
No.
The relationship will always be there. It just changes.
Yeah.
And by changes, it means she won't give a bleep what it is you're telling her to do, and she'll come home whenever she wants. And she ain't getting the towel. I mean, never.
She's not getting the towel.
That's your wife's fault.
I mean. No. I never said that. I just said that the person who has to deal with them more ends up caving more because they have to deal with them.
Right.
You know, so if
more opportunities to cave.
It's more right. So that's what it is. So then when I come home, I got to even out the pendulum. I got to make sure.
Sure, I understand.
I got to make sure to do that.
Yeah, I just want silence. I mean, that's all I ask for.
Yeah.
I don't do anything to get it. Right. Anything to get it. My kids are spoiled. I don't mind saying it on the airwaves. They're spoiled in large part because I needed the noise to stop.
Yeah. I mean, I
it's not their fault. And it's not my wife's fault. It's all on me. That's accountability, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I take plenty of accountability
right.
for the things that are my fault.
Right.
But right now I got it. You know, demon voice was needed yesterday.
I understand.
It was needed.
I understand.
You got to understand who's in charge here. You're not in charge.
The demon.
You're six. You're six. You don't run this house.
Oh yes, she does.
No, she does not.
She does.
No. Maybe when she's 16, she'll run the house.
I want to drag the demon out. That's what I'm trying to do.
Shut up.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.